All right. It's good to see everyone here. All right, hold on. Let me just turn down the word volume. I don't want to hear the background music. So, to talk about what is God saying to you right now. You ever seen those videos where, people, you go on YouTube and it's like, oh, this video is just for you. This was sent by God. Or, I'm going on TikTok. You see videos like that. Of course, that's just all gaslighting and manipulation, just to, so they can try to claim some authority over you. But, what is God saying to us right now? And I'm going to just talk about that. What is God saying to his children? And it's simple. You're favored. You are favored. The Father has already graced you in the Beloved, and you live under his smile, not wrath or judgment. So what is God saying to you right now? You're favored. You have God's favor in your life, and it surrounds you like a shield, not because you're good, because you're his child. What is God saying to you right now? That you're blessed. The Bible says that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We're blessed. We have all blessings in Christ. Nothing's missing, nor nothing is pending. I had to, pay off some debt. Let's say I did that, but like it says pending or whatever, but there's nothing pending between us and God. We are blessed now, and we are favored right now. And not just that, but you're forgiven. God has canceled your entire sin record, and he has remembered your sins no more. But not just that, because sometimes we limit God's forgiveness to, well, your sins are under the blood or they're just covered. But no, is that through the blood of Jesus, your sins were actually removed. The Bible says he was manifested to take away sins. And in Hebrews 9, it's what? He has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So you are forgiven, and that forgiveness, that your sins have been taken away, and your record before God is not covered sin, but Christ's righteousness. But you're clean also, amen. The Bible says that by one offering, he has perfected forever them are sanctified. So we're clean by Jesus once and for all. We're perfectly cleansed and made holy forever. So what is God saying to you now? That you're favored, number one. You're blessed. You're clean. You're forgiven. But not just that. You're united with Jesus. You're one spirit with him. You've been sealed forever by the Holy Spirit. So all this right now is true for you, regardless of how you feel. There's days where you don't feel spiritual, and that's okay. And you don't need to worry about that. Nothing's wrong. All this stuff applies to you. Even when you don't feel spiritual, God's favor is still there. Even when you don't feel close to God, you're one with him. You're as close as you can get. You're one spirit with him, amen. So you're always there. You're always there. He's wherever you go, he's there with you. Okay, your whole life has been cleansed. Your whole life has been made clean. You, my friend, you're sacred. Not just when you do spiritual stuff, but in all things you do, even the negative stuff, you're still sacred. You're still holy. This cannot change because it's not based on your performance or based on what you do or don't do. You are favored. Do not look, right, what we don't have in the natural sense, right? And you might see lack in that. But no, trust in the favor of God. Because you are blessed, and you will see blessings, my friend, and abilities that you thought that the natural realm cannot bring. Okay, so what is God saying right now? That you're loved, you're accepted, you're righteous, you're holy, you're clean, you're perfect. That's what he's saying to you right now. Right? When we see these people who are saying, oh, God is saying this, or God told me to say this to you, it's all religious witchcraft. But let me show what the scripture says. For a child of God, you're loved. Paul says, acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You're loved. And this love, it's not based on your performance. It's not based on if you show up to church, if you do some good works. No, God's love for you is based on who he is. He loves you because he is love, and you're his child. And you live under his smile. Think about that. Even when we do foolish things, God is still smiling at us. He's not disapproving nor disappointed in us. He has accepted us in the Beloved, has made us fully righteous and holy. That's something that we kind of like, oh, yeah, we know this in a doctrinal sense, right? And we say these things in a doctrinal sense, but no, my friend, truly, you are righteous. You are holy. I don't know what else to say, but these are true. This is what you are, who you are. This is your nature. This is who you are. You've been born of God. No matter what state you're in, no matter how you feel, what things you do or don't do, you're always holy and righteous because of Christ and his sacrifice at the cross. Amen.
Doesn't change because God doesn't change.
Amen. That's
it's
right.
The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. You're holy. You're righteous. You're accepted in the Beloved, no matter what you feel. Sorry, I'm just trying to change the setting real quick. But yeah, So when we talk about, you know, what is God saying to us, you know, people in institutional churches will think, oh, God, you know, I remember my friend Morty was telling me how he was in a church and this pastor saw him and which is so interested in him and in the sermon. So this is before the service. He was just talking to him. And then in the sermon, he's all, you know, God is speaking to a young man right now and he's referring to my friend and trying to get him basically in that very day to work for the church. God is calling you, young man, to serve the church. And he's like the only young guy there, right? And beforehand, this pastor was talking to him. But this is how they kind of, you know, use this, oh, you know, to put you in religious bondage. But what God is actually saying and what God wants you to hear is the good news that you are completely righteous, holy, perfect, that you are complete in Christ, lacking nothing. You don't need to become a pastor or a Bible teacher to enjoy God. No, my friend. Again, you are loved, you are accepted, and God himself has bound himself to a covenant to what? To what guaranteed your blessings, your provision, okay, all of it. You don't have to wait for anything. You already have it now. So no man has the right to rule your conscience and put you under his authority, not even me. You're not under my authority, okay? Christ is the head of the church. We're just all members here. You lack nothing, nothing at all. You don't need to know all the knowledge that I know. What you know now about God's grace is enough, and you can rest in that and grow in your understanding of that. And we have to let this truth of, hey, we're favored, we're loved, we're accepted to shape our reality. We need to learn to train our conscience to know that we're in the good graces of God, no matter what we do or don't do. And that even when we're trying things that are not spiritual, you know, I remember we heard a false teacher say that, you know, God wouldn't bless a hobby that's, you know, if it's sinful, he won't bless it. And of course, what are they judging those hobbies by? The law. And where there's law, there is transgression, there's judgment. But where there's no law, there is no transgression. And of course, when this person taught that, well, this is wrong, because I know people personally who were believers, who are a believer, and they done things that they wanted to do that are not very spiritual, and they're not, you know, so-called holy. But you know what? God has reconciled that to himself, created those things, wrought those things into that person, where even he's writing these dirty novels, God bless him in it. And that shocks people because they base God's blessings on, you know, on basically performance, and as long as it has to always be spiritual. But in reality, God's blessings is in all areas of our life, even the things that we like and to enjoy. His grace covers it. So you have to train your conscience to know that you're in his good standing, that you are under his smile. Of course, there are negative consequences for stupid decisions you make and stupid choices you make, but that's not God punishing you or cursing you. It's just part of the fallen world, right? But you know what? We still have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's still for us. He's not angry with us. As a matter of fact, he's working all things out for our good. I remember there was a verse, I don't remember, in Genesis 50. Let me turn out there. Let me go there real quick. You guys can, I don't know what verse it is, though. Let me just turn there real quick. It was somewhere in here. Right here. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as to this day save much people alive. So even evil, that stuff that even though these people are trying to use it, evil things, well, God turned that around for the best, right? So even the negative stuff in our life, or even the evil stuff here, God turns around for our what good, for our benefit, amen? That's the good news. So even negative stuff or foolish things, God works around for our best. Now, does it mean go out there and be careless about your life? And no, of course not. Of course, you want to love people and love people, not want to harm people. But no, this should give you enough freedom to know, hey, I can go after and try things. I can try this new job, or, you know, try this or learn this skill, and you can trust the Lord's provision, knowing that you're not condemned. You're not, you don't have to be ashamed of things that you enjoy or the gifts that you have, the talents you have. But, you know, what God wants you to know, that you're loved, you're accepted, you're blessed, you're clean, you're forgiven. And you know what? Stop trying to do good. You know, no, you shouldn't try to do good. Because you know what? Any good you try to do is sin. It works up wrath. Okay? Because it's apart from Christ. So that should also give you a burden to know that any good you do is Christ in you. Amen. Any good you do is Christ in you. Not what you do for him, but it's what he does in you and through you as you rest and abide with him to do his good pleasure. And again, it was God's good pleasure to let Paul have a thorn in his flesh. And so, you know, that thorn that Paul had, God Paul begged God multiple times to deliver him from this thorn, but God said no, because my gospel, my grace is sufficient for that. Paul should have known that, hey, this thorn that he had, Paul should know that he's in God's good graces, that this thorn cannot separate from God's love or favor or blessings in his life. Of course, just as an example in our lives, what we have in our lives. And when it comes to addictions and things that are not edifying, things that does harm people, how do we deal with that? Okay, really, we trust the Lord in his goodness. He has to be one that delivers from it. If he doesn't, it's up to him. What, again, he's doing it for our good. Whatever he does, it's for the best for us. All we do is learn to live by faith. Not looking in the natural sense, but looking from our heavenly supply. By faith in the Son of God, who loved his game himself for us. That we are loved right now. We are accepted right now, no matter what. And we can't let the fears of life control us. Things about our health, whatever. Because you know what? You have God's favor in your life. Healing in your life. Blessings in your life. And you can trust him for all those things. You have divine protection. His love for you, his favor for you, all of it surrounds you right now as a shield. I want you to picture that, because this is not a feeling, but it's the truth. There's days where we don't feel spiritual at all. But even when you don't do that, God's favor, love, and blessings is still surrounding you because you're his child. He took care of his children. Amen. Everything. So what is God saying to you right now? All these things, your favor, love, all of it. Learn to live from that. Stop worrying about your behavior. Stop worrying about this or that, but enjoy the gift. Enjoy his love. Enjoy his unconditional love and favor and acceptance of you, and learn to live from that. Don't do things out of debt or demand, because that's not from God. If you have a sense of debt, a spirit or a sense of debt, a sensation of debt, that's not coming from the Holy Spirit. That's not coming from God. It's coming from what? The enemy, the accuser, or even just our own psychological mind here, our own mental state, right? But you're not in debt. You're not in debt to people, and you don't have to condemn yourself. You're completely righteous. You're completely holy. You're completely forgiven and completely complete, lacking nothing. God is for you. Who can charge you? You know, the world will charge you. Sinner, ungodly, wicked. You just want an excuse to do whatever you want. They throw these accusations towards you. But what does Paul say? Who can charge God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's your vindicator? God. It's all God. God has made you righteous, has made you just. He's a justifier to them who believe. You're justified. And in that, and right now, you lack nothing. When Nathan told David that the Lord has forgiven you, you're not going to die, David's response wasn't worrying about how to please God by his works. No, but what, he was in a state of grace, rest, at peace. That's what God wants you to be. So when we think about life and the fears of maybe financial stuff or even death, people fear death as believers. And I know I struggle with that a lot. Even that, what do? We continue living in Christ. That's what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther, he struggled with a lot of depression. I'm not talking about the Martin Luther King Jr. I'm talking about the Reformation Martin Luther. He struggled with a lot of depression, a lot of anxieties. And you know, he said what helped him was always to know what, continue in Christ. And how do we live to continue in Christ? By acknowledging Christ, amen, by just resting what he did for us and reminding ourselves of what he did. Because when we're doing that, we're partaking of that present tense enjoyment of Christ, knowing that we're loved and accepted and righteous, regardless of how we feel, no matter what state you're in. Remind yourself of these things, that it's true for you. You're loved, you're favored, you're united with Jesus forever. And there's no such thing as a backsliding Christian. That's a lie from the devil. Backsliding was only mentioned back in the Old Testament. And I had to do with a nation of Israel, not individual people. And wherever you go, God's with you, right? Christ is in you. So you're never far from him. You're never distant from him. You're never, you know, you're as close as you can, because you're one with him. You're in union with him. So he's always there with you in all things you do. Amen. Does anyone want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I saw a video. It was this, apocalyptic preacher talking about how the Antichrist will promote lawlessness. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, ours is not lawlessness, it's freedom from the law, but what would lawlessness be in their eyes? Like, what would lawlessness be? I mean,
so lawlessness, like, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Psalms 5:5, it says the Bible says The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. God hates all workers of iniquity. Now, some translations will say lawlessness, but what was that? What was he talking about? It was talking about people going against God's righteousness. Lawlessness is going against God's righteousness. Now, who's God righteous? What is God's righteousness? Is it the law? No, it's Jesus Christ. Remember in Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God is apart from the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, and that's what? Jesus Christ. So God's righteousness is not the law, it's Jesus Christ. So lawlessness is going against God's righteousness. And Paul talks about Romans 10, what? They're being ignorant of God's righteousness and going around establishing their own righteousness, which is of the law. And they have not submitted to God's righteousness, which is to believe in Christ, who's the end of the law for righteousness. So lawlessness, what is lawlessness? What is being a worker of iniquity? It's going around and establishing your own righteousness. That's why Paul says, whoever claims the name of Jesus, depart from iniquity or depart from lawlessness, which is what? Establishing your own righteousness. And said, submit to God's righteousness, which is to believe on Christ. So if you believe on Christ, you have submitted to God's righteousness, and you're not lawless because you're found in Christ, not having your own righteousness, but having Christ's righteousness, which is through faith. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that's what I figured what it was. Yeah. Like, he was getting like way too focused on the letter of the words rather than the spirit of it. So it's like lawlessness would appear like they would say, if you don't obey the law, you're lawless. But they're basically, it's actually the reverse.
They're lawless. Yeah.
Then if you have, it's not saying lawlessness, but saying like.
Well, their definition of lawlessness
against God's righteousness.
Lawlessness is just not biblical. Lawlessness in the scriptures is going around and establishing your own righteousness. So them trying to keep the law is them being lawless because they're going around establishing their own righteousness. We're not lawless. We believe the gospel. We have been forgiven and free from the law of sin and death by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But remember, the Antichrist is the man of lawlessness, and people don't understand this. Paul talks about it in 1 Timothy 4, that in those last days, people will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrine of devils. And he says that they will tell people, do not marry, and do not eat meat. So what is that? That's them establishing their own righteousness. Paul talks about in Colossians 2, of touch not, taste not, handle not, make up their own rules. These are the laws they're making up. That this is lawlessness because they're going around establishing their own righteousness instead of resting what Christ has done. And Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians where that this man will claim to be God. Well, what does that mean? Well, this Antichrist will claim that he is just. He is righteous. He is holy. Okay, that's what this Antichrist is going to claim, that he's just like God. He's holy, righteous, and just. He's going to claim all these things, and he's going to establish the law. He's going to establish his own law, whatever, of touch not, taste not, handle not, where you become the father of your own life, trying to take the strength from your own hand. This is what Revelation is all about. It's people establishing their own righteousness. During this time, they're going to call good evil. What is good? The grace of God, the free gift of eternal life. Well, what is evil? Relying on self, trusting in oneself. So they're going to call trusting in self good, and they're going to call good evil, which is trusting in Christ. But yeah.
That makes sense. That's what I figured. But it was like I saw it when I was kind of sick, and it kind of got in my head.
Sure, yeah, no.
My weakness.
And
it was like, am I doing it right? But it's like...
Mm-hmm. That's not from God. Yeah, like, that's the enemy.
And I was feeling like, no, this is... I understand the spirit of the words behind the... Like, the words behind the words, not the words themselves, and... I know I'm doing right, and I only feel God is with me.
Yeah, if you believe the gospel, you're righteous, you're holy, you're never lawless, right? Because lawlessness is not you sinning, right? Again, lawlessness is you establishing your own law by your own works, right? It's establishing your own righteousness. So no, as believers, we're not lawless. Now, we could be when we go back to the law, right? That's what the Galatians did. They went back to the law, and they became lawless. So they're going around establishing their own righteousness, which is the law. But even then, they were still justified. The Antichrist is going to promote self-righteousness and going around and establishing your own righteousness. But if you believe the gospel, your identity is not wicked or a sinner. In God's eyes, you're holy, righteous, and perfect. So when we see the Bible talk about the unrighteous or the wicked or the ungodly, it's not referring to a believer. Because in God's eyes, he sees you wholly righteous as a saint. It refers to unbelievers, those who have not believed the gospel yet. They're still trusting their own works. They have not submitted to God's righteousness, which is believing in Christ.
And when they also say, like, you know, do not continue to sin, that's...
That grace may abound. Like, right? That verse? Yeah, like, well, read verse 2. I've done a Bible study on Romans 6, read verse 2. God forbid how that we are dead to sin live any longer therein. As a believer now, you're dead to sin. What does that mean to be dead to sin? You're not under the law. Sin's not imputed to you. Sin's not charged. You remember Romans 4:15, where there's no law, there's no transgression. Okay. Romans 5:13, where there's no law, sin's not imputed. Now Romans 6:14, sin should not have dominion over you because you're not under law, but under grace. You're dead to sin before God's eyes. Sin is a dead issue between you and God. As a category, sin's dead. So they say, how can you just do whatever you want and say it's grace? Well, say, well, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to this whole category. It's not imputed to me. It's not charged against me. I'm holy and righteous. Now, believers can let sin reign through the mortal body. So how do we do that? By putting ourselves back under the law. Because when we do that, we start judging ourselves under the law. And that's when we let sin reign through our mortal body. So we're judging what we're doing as sin. And when we do that, we're serving its lust. What's the lust? Self-justification. Because we think, oh, I did this bad thing. Now I got to go to church or clean up my life or do this to get God's love and favor. That's what it means to let sin reign in our bodies, going back to the law. And obeying the lust thereof is seeking self-justification. So as believers, we reckon ourselves dead to sin, knowing what? That we're righteous, we're holy as we are, and we've been born of God. God's seed remains in us, our spirit. We cannot sin. It's impossible for us to sin because of the gospel. But we can let sin reign through our mortal body by what? Putting ourselves back under the law. So it's an identity issue. So yeah, that verse
is saying, don't let guilt come back into you.
Well, don't put yourself
to be guilty for.
Yeah, it's saying don't put yourself back under that realm where sin is. You're free from sin, right? So in God's eyes, you're holy and righteous. You're righteous as you are, Ashes. Even if you go to a club and you drink 1,000 beers, you're not sinning. Even if you, God forbid, you go out and commit a mass murder, you're not sinning. It's not sin. Why? Because you're in Christ. Sin is no sin to those who are in the light. You're in the light. You're holy and righteous. Sin cannot remain there. So there's no accusation over your head. So what Paul is saying here is, hey, you died to sin. So these people accuse you of sin and being a sinner, but you died to sin. You stand right now completely holy and righteous because of Christ and his sacrifice. The only time where you think you sin is when you put yourself back under the law and judging your actions by the law instead of agreeing with God's judgment. Hey, the flesh profits nothing. There's nothing good in there. There's no demand on it. God's not judging by my behavior. I'm going to let go of judging myself and rest in the gospel on that I'm loved, righteous, and holy. But yeah.
Saying that we sin is kind of like saying that the birds of the air sin.
Mm-hmm. You being free from sin, you become the son of righteousness. I mean, you're a slave to righteousness. You're in Christ. You're no longer in sin. You're in Christ. And sin, Bible says, he was manifested to take away our sins. In him is no sin. Well, where are you right now as a believer? Are you in Adam? No, you're in Christ. This is who you are. And in Christ is no sin. That's where you are. So there's no sin in you. You're in Christ. You're holy, righteous, and perfect. Bible says, whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, how do we abide in him? By faith. So even though you're doing things that we can say are sinful by the law, you're not sinning. Why? Because God refused to count sin against you. Does that make sense? So when you read Romans 6,
yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Paul is telling you, you're dead to sin. So these charges that they're throwing at you, hey, you're a sinner, you're sinning, you're this, this. Well, guess what? You say, I'm dead to sin. I'm in Christ. I have his righteousness, his holiness. I'm perfectly clean now. All my sins were taken away. Who can charge you, Ashes? Nobody, because you're God's elect. It's him who justifies. He has vindicated you before everyone. And remember, when these accusations come, really they're attacking the cross. They're really accusing Jesus, not you. There are issues with the gospel because God has justified the ungodly by his blood. They have this hatred towards that, how these ungodly people can be righteous and holy and saints by his offering. That's what the devil hates. But yeah.
Jesus did say,
I'll send you my Bible study, Ashes, on Romans. Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Jesus did say that we're more precious than the sparrows.
Yeah, amen. Amen. But yeah. Demon Hunter, you want to say something?
Yeah, when I was going through the horrible week that I had, all I could do was just remind myself of who I was in Christ. That's all I could do.
Yeah. Well, amen. Amen. No, that's right. Because when we're doing that, we're and here's the thing too. It's funny how people accuse all this stuff, but you know, when it comes to people like loving people and all that, the law can't produce that, right? Religious rules and regulations can't produce that. Only the fruit of the Spirit can, which is what love, joy, peace, meekness, and long suffering. That comes from the living God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Our responsibility is to rest. Okay, it's His responsibility to produce love, joy, and peace. Amen. So there's not a burden on you where you have to like be this loving person, or you have to. No, it's what Christ is ending through you. Any good we do is Christ in us. Okay, our focus should not be on our behavior, but just resting on what Christ has done, fixing on what He done on the cross and who we are in Him. Amen. Because at the end of the day, you know, people want to play this morality game and want to say, "Oh, we're this," but no one's moral. Your morals are garbage. I'm sorry to say it, but they are. No one's moral. You're not morally good. You're not this righteous person in the flesh. Sorry. Yeah, we have man's laws and we follow man's laws to keep because we don't want, you know, there are consequences in this life for stupid decisions. But at the end of the day, your morality is garbage. It won't justify you. It won't sanctify you. It won't produce life. If there's no life in the morality tree, but there's life in the tree of life, which is Christ Himself, and we drink of that. So I'm not worried about being a good person because I know I can trust Christ in me to do the good in me. So I'm not fixing on my behavior. I'm fixing on just on Christ. If I'm an asshole one day, it is what it is. Okay, I'm going to move forward by God's grace. I am what I am by the grace. Paul says that. I am what I am by the grace of God. What you see is what you get. You know, it's up to the Lord what He wants to do in me, to do His good pleasure. All we do is rest in Him. All we do is abide in Him. So when you have people who are so fixed on behavior, control, but if you notice, they don't keep their own laws. The Bible says they speak lies and hypocrisy because they don't keep them themselves. They don't keep up the laws they give out to people, whether it's tithing or, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You know, whatever their own laws they make up of touch not, taste not, handle not, they don't keep. So what's our focus? Yeah. So what's our focus as believers? So then what do? We live unto God by faith. We enjoy the gift of His love, His acceptance, His grace. That's what we rest at. We're not worried about, this life is temporal. We're not worried about this or that. We're worried about what Christ, who we are in Him. We're just resting in Him. God works all things out for our good. Okay. Now, am I saying around just, you know, be crazy, make stupid decisions? Of course not. You have one life, you should enjoy this life. And you should love people, not want to hurt people. But if you do those things, you're still righteous, you're still holy, you're still under God's smile. People are offended by that, because again, because they think their morals, what they do or don't do, will justify them. It won't. Okay, God is kind to the unthankful. Okay, God is kind to the ungodly, and has justified us by His blood, and has made us saints and righteous. And that's the good news of the gospel. So no matter where you are in your life, you can know that you're completely forgiven, completely clean, completely righteous, completely holy, and learn to live from that. Stop worrying about your condition and all these worries. Know that you're blessed and favored by God and rest in that. That all things have been reconciled to God. Christ is in all. Okay, unto the pure, all things are pure. So stop worrying about these things, instead resting in the gospel. Amen. Is one want to add anything, talk about anything? I've been talking a lot here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that like they say, how can a murderer get to heaven? Well, mm-hmm. Many people don't realize is that everyone is a murderer in the heart. I mean, I've mm-hmm. heard so many people say that how can a murderer get to heaven and all this? Well, you're already a murderer within the heart, and really how someone stays away from, you know, trying to kill somebody is not by their own efforts or anything. No, it's we need God's grace and mercies to keep us away from that. We can't do it on our own. We need God's grace and mercies.
I mean, I haven't killed anyone by God's mercy. I mean, like, we're not even worried about that. You know, I mean, we don't have this thirst to kill people. Now, of course, you can get dumb. You'd be stupid. You know, people can piss. Listen, people kill each other over the dumbest things, or the smallest things. And so, you can know what you can do in a moment of anger, right? People ruin their lives in a moment of anger. But those people, regardless what they commit, they can be saved if they believe the gospel. And for as believers, you know, we know all things that God has reconciled all things to ourselves, that we're not even worried about that. We don't have a thirst to go through that. We're resting in Christ. You know, nothing is lost, nothing is outside, nothing's unclean. We're just resting what Christ has done for us. But yeah, murderers can go to heaven. The worst type of people you can think of can go to heaven. Why? Because Christ died for the ungodly. Like it or not, He died for everyone. The people I hate, Christ died for. The people out there who I hate, I do not love, I do not like, I hate them. And yet Christ loved them and died for them. Right? So at the end of the day, just deal with it. You know, this, we have a loving God who loves every his creation, and died for every single one of them. And as believers, we understand that purity where, you know, that we're all his God, nothing is against him, right? And he's in all, everything's in him. And the one that we can, the ones who see rightly, we see no impurity, right? We let go of judging people of the flesh because it profits nothing. And we need to let go of judging ourselves because the flesh profits nothing. All of the flesh, it's unclean. I mean, like, okay, there's nothing good in it. Okay. It perfects, it profits nothing. All it produces is strife, dead works, and Ishmael. Okay. But who are we? We're the inward man. It's created in righteousness and holiness. That's what we are. And to us, all things is clean. Nothing's unclean of itself. We're in union. And that union with Christ, nothing can be unholy. He has sacred you and the environment around you. So rest in that. You're holy. You're righteous. You're accepted. Just rest in that, my friend. That's all I can tell you is rest in that. Jesus completed it all. Once and all sacrifice. Amen. All sin been taken away. You've been made righteous. You've been holy by his sacrifice. You can never lose your salvation. You can never go to hell. Five words. Christ died for your sins. That's why you can't go to hell. You've been made perfect, made holy by his sacrifice. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear sickness because you have God's favor, healing, blessings in your life. So you can learn to live from just by faith, trusting him moment by moment. That's good news. All right. Is anyone else have anything to say? All right. Okay, well, we can end it here. I mean, I'm at a good spot of ending it. Been 30 minutes in. I mean, I'm fine with ending it earlier. All right, well, yeah. So just a reminder that all of you stand in a complete position of innocence before God. You're under his smile. He's not disapproving of you. He's not disappointed in you. He's not judging you. He no longer relates to you to Adam. Remember, Adam, which is the flesh, which is under the law, expects cursings and punishments, okay? But we're where? In Christ. Amen. And Christ does not expect cursings, but what? Blessings. Amen. So remind yourself.
Yeah, he took the cursings and punishments for us. Right.
Amen. So remind yourself that you're in complete favor and love and accepted. That's the goodness of the gospel. Rest in that. Amen.